Welcome to Insight Out, the Naked Truth, where we explore everyday issues to discover their core truths so that we may understand them, open our hearts, add a little more fun to our lives, and see it all from another perspective.
Tonight's show is coming to you live from Lupin Lodge in the Los Gatos Hills of California, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked, and I am exercising my option tonight.
I am Rochelle Alicia Strider.
And I'm Errol Strider. Together, we go through a whole lot of stuff. It's just amazing, 38 years of marriage. And we'll get into some of that. But on this program, that definitely influences the way we like to use humor, because we are very ridiculous. I can almost hear Rochelle saying, speak for yourself, buddy.
No, I know I'm ridiculous.
Oh, okay. Anyway, so our conversation will be hopefully fairly conscious. We are probably going to include some skits, a story, and your comments, which you can make. We'd love to hear from you at 888-627-6008. If you need me to repeat that, just call in and I'll repeat it.
Tonight's show is brought to you by Go Raw, 100% natural, organic, raw food that not only tastes good, but is good for you.
Yummy, and you can get Go Raw at Whole Foods and Costco and Trader Joe's. And there was a ship that was headed for Trinidad. They were including Go Raw products on it, but I don't know the name of the ship.
Oh, God. Got to be careful with this guy. He'll say anything. But if you want to know more about Go Raw products, go to goraw.com and you'll find out how wonderful they are.
Okay, so let's get into it. Tonight's show, I'm going to introduce it because it was something that I spend a huge part of my day doing and exploring, and that is going within.
Going within.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I go within. Every time there's turbulence in my field of energy in whatever form it shows up, which may cause me to doubt, go into fear, some form of resistance, some form of editing my experience, some form of denying, angering it away, guilting it away, etc. And I stop and I just go to this place that is through my heart, that is the within.
Now, it's not through your organic heart, because that would be difficult to get into because, you know, it's all messy and bloody and stuff like that. We call it our heart, but it's a place inside us, obviously, because you can't look at it. So, but we have so many words. It could be like God. I mean, we have so many words that say God, yet so many pictures of the holy ones are framed in light, and the light is above them and around. Some even find it radiating from within them. I met Jesus in a white light. So did Paul. Light. What better way to depict the undefinable essence of spirit, God, love, Allah, Eloheinu, Yeshua. It is all things pulsing with energy, filling the holes in our imagination. Light. I can feel you within me, aligning my soul with your very brilliance, light. You make everything come alive. Light. You eliminate darkness. Light. Despite your shapelessness, I see you. Who is the light of the world? I am, and I am. And he is, and he is, and she is, and she is, and we are. Made in that image of light, covered over by the scaffolding of mortality, we can only open up and let it out.
And in order to get to the light, we really need to cultivate stillness, to sense that stillness inside of us.
Thank you. touching me. I touch the force that begins me. Touching me, touching me. I yearn for the power that sees me.
Tell us about that one, Errol.
Well, that brings us back quite a few years, because that was a song I wrote. I wrote the lyrics with my good friend Omoran, and it was actually one of the songs in a musical I was commissioned to write for a youth group in a church. Hence, part of, you might find the lyrics maybe a little bit simplistic or traditional Christian, but that was the context in which they were written, and it still feels good, even though that I have lots of other words that I like to use too. But
it's so funny, isn't it? We don't ever run out of words.
No. I just did. Wait a minute. I don't know what to say about that.
And then we don't even use the same ones all the time. We use different ones, or we use the same words in different ways.
Speaking of words, let me just say, I sent this out as an email today to, this is my latest version of trying to poetically enter into this place that's within. And so this is what I wrote this afternoon, last night today. There is this door to the inner chamber of my being that I can pass through anytime I want. It is spacious, apparently unending, eager to be discovered, to wash through me with its timeless essence, palpable yet without shape or form, beckoning to me to enter and rest in the quintessential resonance that abounds. Beckoning me to enter and rest in the quintessential resonance that abounds. The within, as I am coming to know it. My very human self keeps looking for some manifestation, some specific direction, like go here or do that. But I continue to experience the bounty of presence, mirrored back to me with a different face. No, not a face so much as the embodiment of fully saturated joy. A beacon fondling me all over with its light, turning my will into rainbows bending over the sky. If there were eyes, they'd be bathing me with a knowing, fully revealing me to myself in ways that escape the known, but rest in that which is destined to become. Like dropping down a well, endlessly somersaulting in and through the void until I am immersed in the baptism of liquid awareness.
Oh.
That is the within, always available, not fickle like the finite, but replete with an immeasurable abundance cascading into forever.
Oh, I felt that. That was fun. That was nice. That was nice.
I hope you listeners can feel that, and I hope you'll let us know how you're feeling and what's going on at 888-627-6008. In case you haven't guessed it yet, our theme for tonight is going within. Of course, the old traditional biblical phrase, the kingdom of God is within. And for years, I wondered, well, where is the within? Is it like, I remember I would look around, you know, is it like inside my torso? I mean, where's the within?
It's really interesting because I realized that when we have so many images of things, even that, an image of the within, and yet that place isn't a place. It's a state of being. And a state of being is not a place. It's a non-place, like nonplussed. It's a non-place.
It's a place where you go to be nonplussed.
That's exactly right.
Because when you get there, there's no plussing. They have no plussing.
And no minusing.
So they put a sign up, non-plussed. You're right. No plussing and no minusing, because one thing that can't get into the within are numbers. No numbers.
That's
in the
right.
Within.
No numbers and no images and nothing actually other than that which belongs to the moment you're in the within, and then the within can get out in the moment that you're in. And if that happens, you're there.
Right. I think I followed that. You know, it reminds me of a line that came to me many years ago. The infinite won't stand still long enough to be counted.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
But it can be counted upon. Now, that's the difference.
Oh, I like that. It can be counted upon.
Yeah, we
I
count
like
upon
it,
but you can't count it.
That's why it's infinite.
Well, that's why. I was wondering why it was infinite all these years. Yes.
But when you said, you know, like the stillness, and the stillness is all sort of like that quiet place where you don't have assumptions and you don't have any programs and you don't have any agendas. And sometimes it can happen in a nanosecond. It's like I know we meditate to get to that place, but there's also this sense of like training your mind to stop by focusing on something like a beautiful tree or bird. And in that moment, something emerges, the connection between that which I am focusing on and myself create something brand new.
Well, think of a painting.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like a piece of art. You know, it can come out, if you have talent as an artist, as a painter, it can come out as a painting, it can come out as music, and it can come out as your poem, you know.
Indeed, it can come out dressed or naked. No? Rochelle's looking at me. Rochelle looks at me so often with this look of, where do you find this stuff?
It's not from the quiet in his mind. I know it's not.
No, it's from the busy part.
It's the busy part of his mind. Because I know the quiet part of his mind creates gems.
Yeah, but the
busy part of his mind is the, what, what is it?
Well, it's what I need to do in order to keep myself from going insane in that part. Because that part left to itself is so busy going insane as fast as it can. At least when I watch those thoughts and the contradictoriness of it and the investment in it and thinking that this is real and this is important and I got to go buy that or I got to have that or I got to do that, or if we don't do that, then this is going to happen if we don't do that, or I should have done that. It's so busy with that stuff.
Talking about busy and things, you know, it's very interesting. I went to a shop today to shop. Because that's what you do in a shop. You shop.
What we do on planet Earth, which is why we have so many guests from other planets.
I know, UFOs. You know, I'm sure that every alien comes here to shop.
Of course.
Anyway. Anyway, so I went to shop, and you said you needed certain things, right? And I walked into this place not expecting to find anything. In fact, I remember the feeling as I left the car and walked into the store. I just wanted to be in the moment with the store. And I found everything that I went in there for. I mean, and it was like magic. All of a sudden, it appeared. It like jumped off the shelf, that which I really would want it. And the other things. And it was very magical, and it was very quiet. And it had no like, oh, I'm looking for something. It was all there.
Including the Mercedes-Benz that I've been wanting.
No.
They had a special room for it, but there it was.
No, we were only able to get the Mercedes. The Benz will come next week.
Mercedes! Oh, my God. That is so bad.
I know. But you're not the only one allowed to make bad jokes.
Hey. Hey. You know, we're going within, and there is a voice within. You know that?
I do.
Indeed, there is.
Young girl, don't cry. I'll be right here when your world starts to fall. Tears will dry, you'll soon be free to fly. Ooh. When you're safe inside your room, you'll tend to dream of a place where nothing's harder than it seems. No one ever wants to bother us to explain. Life can't bring in what it means when there's no one else. Look inside yourself like your own truest friend. Just trust the voice within.
Trust the Voice Within.
Ooh.
Christina Aguilera.
Ah, Christina, good. Good for you.
Thank you, Christina. Lovely. We're going within. This is Insight Out, The Naked Truth, sponsored by Go Raw. Broadcasting live from Lupin Lodge, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked, as we like to say. And we're here in the Los Gatos foothill. It's beautiful. Come down and visit us. We had some people come through today, spending a beautiful, warm spring day here at Lupin.
Oh, it certainly is. And now we would like to introduce you to the inspiration for tonight's show. It was a story. You might think of it as a children's story, but
or a parable.
Parable,
or an allegory.
An allegory. What
or
else?
The plot for treatment for a movie.
No, it is not a treatment for a movie, but it's definitely a story. So it's a tale of a group of beings called the Doogs.
Right, and the Doogs. Well, you'll find out, but I think it'll be a surprise to you who the Doogs turn out to be. But here they are in person, the Doogs.
Back some time after the beginning, there appeared male and female Doogs. To outsiders, they all looked like rocks, round, rough, craggy creatures. And except for the length and depth of their creases, well, they all looked alike. They had a very rough time of it in the early stages of their evolution. Little food, lots of unmanageable animals, no TV, no insurance programs, no retirement benefits, and no unions. Things were tough, and so were they. They had to be. They were the Doogs.
But in spite of the difficulties, they survived, developed, and made lots more of themselves. And over the centuries, they became crustier and crustier. Hard shells encasing never exposed insides. They wouldn't dare. Everybody had rough exteriors, though they would try and cover them over. But underneath their designer jeans, makeup, and even after they invented automobiles, polyester, computer chips, and super glue, they were still pretty, craggy creatures.
In fact, their worst fear was to expose their insides. They thought if their outsides were rough and ugly, then, well, their insides would be rougher and uglier. As a result of these fears, they did their best to stay apart lest they bump into each other, break open, and run the risk of exposing what they assumed would be their inner ugliness. They feared their insides so much, they shunned and made taboos of everything that came up from within them.
Over long periods of time, as they developed new planes, remote control, world-scale wars, and overpopulation, the Doogs found themselves bumping into each other more and more often, creating quite an irritating and stressful situation. They began to feel pressed in on all sides with nowhere to turn. Outside was being used up faster than they could die off. They tried going into outer space, but they couldn't figure out how to stay there. And going into the water wouldn't work because they couldn't bring in enough air.
Things kept getting rougher and rougher for the Doogs until a few of the wiser ones suggested, "Why don't we consider going inside?" "Oh, no, 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 we couldn't do that," said the others. and these more daring dukes were banished to remote places or simply eliminated.
After a while, as things went from bad to worse, even these recalcitrant dukes began to realize they couldn't continue as they had with what? Rising national debts, extreme tensions between different nations of dukes, the breakdown of the whole duke social and family structure, rampant crime, and more poor dukes dying from disease and starvation. They were forced by the extremity of their circumstances to look beyond their greatest fears and discover what they were really made of, to see what was inside a duke.
Even though they had no real idea of what they would discover, one thing they knew for sure was that in order to go inside, their outsides would have to be destroyed. This prospect frightened them the most, the destruction of all they knew of themselves. Their outsides spelled doom to the world of the dukes.
But they had no choice at this point. They had reached a level of crisis. They had to act, and they had to act now. They must investigate the one arena of life they had most avoided to see if there was some small glimmer of hope for the dying race of dukes. They must go within.
They sent out a call across the lands for a volunteer, someone who would be willing to be split in two, who cared enough about the future of the race of dukes to sacrifice themselves for it. Finally, one very propitious day, a young woman appeared who said that she would volunteer to be split, to give up her life in the hopes that a way to save the dukes might be found. The people were both enormously grateful and very frightened, more frightened than ever. They didn't know if they were more afraid of what they would see or of dying as a race of dukes. What if they opened her up and all they found inside was more roughage?
Still, they determined to go through with the experiment. They really had no choice. They decided to use a very powerful, thin light to open her, one that would penetrate her rough skin and the layers underneath. This would leave a clean break and enable them to see clearly for the first time in their entire history what was really inside a duke.
The day finally came for the great event. The light was ready to shine. The woman was prepared. She removed her designer jeans, makeup, and fancy undergarments, and lay there in all her roughness. This was too much for many, who turned away in disgust. The dukes had always been so ashamed of their naked roughness. But the woman was put in place, the light placed above her, and the countdown began. 10, 9, 8. She prayed. They all prayed and hoped. 7, 6, 5. Many shrieked in fear. Others clutched each other. Still the countdown continued. 4, 3. A number fainted. The tension was almost intolerable. 2. All held their breath. 1, 0.
The switch was thrown. The light blazed forth with piercing intensity. The woman screamed, but her screams were drowned out by the screams of others shouting, "No, stop it, it's not worth it." But the light continued to burrow into her prone form, making a neat, clean crack in the surface of this courageous woman duke.
Now all was stillness. The last cut was made. The light turned off. For a fraction of a second, her form remained still. Then it opened. It opened very quickly, but it seemed to take forever. At last, she lay there in two pieces. The first to look stepped forward and peered inside. What they saw, they never would have expected. Nothing on the outside had given them any indication of what they would find within. Their breath was arrested. The pure wonder of it was overwhelming. It was too much for them. The others gathered around to look. A TV camera was brought up to flash the picture to the waiting multitudes who were eager to see. It had been held off to one side for fear of the worst, but now it was brought right up to the two parts of her being to reveal that which had never before in all the history of the Dukes been known.
As the TV lights illuminated the still form, now broken in two, there within was revealed endless mountains and valleys of pure crystalline brilliance. Light was refracted in thousands of directions. Colors of what seemed like magic light rays shot out into the expectant eyes of the waiting billions, and cushioned up against these diamond-like crystals was endless space. Space surrounded by brilliance, and they were able to see layers of roughness giving way to more and more glistening crystals in the center. And as they peered inside, on the surface of every crystal was a face being reflected back to their hungry, petrified eyes. And to their utter astonishment, they saw that it was their own faces being mirrored back to them from the inside. This glorious creature, this humble, craggy, rough-cut Duke.
Then from the endless bowels of her being, they heard a voice from deep within the empty space, echoing among every crater and crevice of the diaphanous substance. They heard the call of the woman herself, who spoke entreatingly to them, saying, "I am alive. I am here. I am everywhere. I am free." The crowds were overwhelmed by this startling realization. "Break open," the voice said, "and find your own free, illuminated being. Fear not, for you too can know the joy and the unendingness of the within. Open yourselves and discover the crystalline beings that you are. Let the light shine upon you and shoot out its colored life forms into all dark crevices of your rough surfaces. Let the pure light break you open and expose your gossamer insides to you."
And the people took her broken body and revered it and placed it on a tall mountain for all to come and see and worship. And the strong light was broken and buried deep in the mountain in memoriam to her spirit, the spirit of the great woman Duke, who showed her insides.
Each day, pilgrims would come to the mountain and listen to her recorded words. "Open up. Let the light break you in two. Go inside." The Dukes repeated her words over and over through the years. And when asked why they didn't do what she urged them to do, they only said, "Ew, it is not for us." Only the prophetess does it. She has done it for us. She is unique. We are lowly doings. And they praised the prophetess and adored her.
Whenever they felt that things were getting too rough, they looked at the picture of their idol and gave thanks. They even made a special day of the year when all would stop and venerate her and made emblems of her which were sold in cathedrals. And when asked about their existence, each in his or her own way would say, "Oh, life is rough to be sure. Nothing to be done about it. A rough life," they would say.
And thus ends the story of the dudes, the rough people. May they one day listen to the words of their prophets. Open up and see the light within.
One Sunday morn, not long ago, I walked into the womb. I went to seek what wise men know, to find what peace I could. Although I'd left a trail of crumbs, it seemed I'd lost my way. The twists and turns had left me numb in living day to day. Go within or go without. I had to choose which path to take, as seekers often do. Although the choice was mine to make, my indecision grew. I called for help from God above to guide me on my way. Take the road that's paved. I seemed to hear it say, when you're feeling down and out, when your mind is filled with doubt, and you don't know what life's about, go within or go. Just don't know what life's about. Go within or go without.
And that was Annie Sims. Go within.
And before that was the story of the Dukes. And for those of you who would like to know, in case you haven't guessed already, a Duke, spelled backwards, is geode. Remember those geodes, those craggy, rocky geodes that when you split them open are actually brilliant? As I was listening to that story, I felt very, I don't know, it touched me very deeply, and I've heard that story many times, obviously. I've recorded it. But I think what touched me was that we have that within us. It may not look like a geode, the inside of a geode with all those sparkling crystalline things, but that same beauty is within us. And if we take the time to go beyond all the crusty manifestations of our guilts and betrayals and pain and wounds, that is our birthright, is that brilliance and that beauty. It is. And each one of us has the opportunity in this lifetime, or maybe more, I don't know, but certainly we have the opportunity, if we want to see something beyond all the crustiness.
All that crustiness, dear. Yes. You know, I've been a crusty old fart here now for millennia. I am a representative of the human species, actually, and I heard about these Duke people, you know, with their problems and their cragginess. But we've come quite a long way now. I'm not sure I can relate to those doogie people. You know, we got beautiful, though extremely thin, models on the covers of magazines, and that should set us apart for something, don't you think?
Well, yes, sir. I do think that sets us apart. It sets us apart as an anorexic race.
Well, there's something to be said for that. Now, be less eaten, less trash, and less poopy to have to clean up.
That's true, and we could leave sooner.
That's right. You leave sooner and get off the planet here. We've had enough of you. You know, those of you who are eating your way through life. You know, we've got this. Actually, you know, not that many anorexics compared to all those of us who are just pretty damn fat, and we like to eat, and we like our fried food, and we like our sugar. And you know what I caught myself doing the other night? I try to be conscious about what I'm doing here, and I went back and I saw that I was in a moment of personal emotional discomfort. I don't like to admit that to too many people, but nevertheless, I was having that experience, and the first thing that came to my mind was, what could I eat that has chocolate in it? That's right. I went beeline for the chocolate in my own mind, you know, chocolate with sugar, and then, but I didn't stop there because I like to have the carbohydrates. You know, I like flour, fluffy things that have sugar and flavoring in them, and that's very comfortable to me. I don't know about y'all out there, but it's just, you know, gets me comforted, just like that.
George, you're just on tonight. I tell you that much. Well, George, I don't know what we can say about that, but it's true. We want the comfort. And if we had the comfort within, George, do you think you'd have to be looking for it outside?
Well, I don't know now. I can't imagine what it's like going in, you know, because every time I see going in, it's like, well, there's nothing going on there. Don't look like it. And So that's why I kind of, stay out here and then focus on what's the out there. There's plenty to keep me busy. And, when I go and I hope there's a within or whatever that is. And I have entertained the notion that there's a sideways. You know, I know there's a within, but there's something over on the side. And sometimes
time you turn around to look at it, it's on the other side.
It has a way of getting away from you now, don't it? It just seems to kind of scattle off over there. But one thing I heard is that we can go within, and there's probably a good place for us to go, and this is what I'm hankering for.
Well, now I sense something inside me is starting to change, like something's been hiding. Now I got something to say, and I can see today. No need to be afraid, well, I'm gonna hit the ground running. The rain's coming down and the lightning crashes. pressure loud, and can you hear the sound? Can you feel it now? And this silence in me is starting to break, like this weight that I've been holding, I feel it crumble away. I've released my inhibitions, let go of the reins. I don't need another captain, I'm sailing away. Yes, I'm sailing away. Well, now I sense something inside me, and it's starting to change, like something all lost and hiding. I got something to say, and I can see the day. No need to be afraid, well, I'm gonna hit the ground running. When the rain's coming down and the lightning crashing loud, can you hear the sound? Can you feel it now?
From the world of sights and sounds, a dazzling display, a merry-go-round. Come in, come in, in. Into the inner world where blossoms rise from rocks and miracles occur. Turn away from the world of luster and spark, a vivid appeal. Come out of the dark. Come in, come in. Into the inner world where heaven and earth shake hands and lion and lamb embrace. Turn away from the world of time and space, listening bright, a hectic race. Come in, come in. Come into the inner world where stars and thoughts collide and pearls spring from pebbles. Turn away from the world that scintillates, a euphoric place that stimulates. Come in, come in. Come into the inner world where bright spheres never set and roadways never end. Turn away from the world of moments, delight, charming and bold that seems to excite. Come in. Come in. Come into the inner world where flowers never wilt and deserts become gardens. Turn away from the world that glows and shines, things to do so lovely and fun. Come in. Come in. Into the inner world, where snowflakes appear in color and raindrops rise up to the sky. Come in.
Was a poem I wrote many years ago called Within. And obviously that's what we're dealing with tonight, is going within. How about you, Rochelle?
Who sang that song before you, before that poem?
Oh, that was a group called, it's coming, Six Market Boulevard.
Six Market Boulevard?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
funny. What was yeah. it called?
It was called Silence in Me.
Silence in Me.
Yeah.
So I think we've concluded that you find you can go within in the stillness. You have to have it in a still, you have to be in a still place to even find that within. Because if there's a whole lot of chatter going on, it's really hard to find it. Since it's not an actual physical place, but a state of being. And anything that interferes with that state of being makes it really hard to experience it. And I've experienced it so many times that, and it is brilliant and it is peaceful and it is beautiful. And the colors change in that space and people look different. Relationships take on an ease. You know, the things like, oh, this is difficult, I can't do this. And then I go within and all of a sudden the way is shown in that place from within. The answers come from questions that are childlike sometimes, but nevertheless questions, because in that moment I really don't understand something. And when I go within, the understanding becomes apparent. And everything changes from that place. And I really do believe I'd like to live my life from within instead of all the outer busyness that seems to overtake so many people. And maybe that's what can happen to us as we get older. It's like that it can only happen when we realize that all that busyness is not getting us what we want, which is the joy and the peace. And you know, we could have everything and still not have that joy and peace and creativity and connectedness and everything that is what I call love. So, yeah.
So what I experience of is that I do experience it in my body, in near my heart, that there is this place of the Sacred Heart. It is a sense felt thing for me, for which I'm very grateful, because I discovered that. I think I talked about it on the show a few weeks ago about discovering this place in my own being. It's not the physical heart, but it's nearby. It's a friendly neighbor to the physical heart. It's kind of like the main power source that's near the physical heart. But when I drop into that space or go up into that space, there's over to it, there's this sense that everything else is suspended and I'm held. It's almost like a cushion. It's interesting that the Spirit of Truth, or the Holy Spirit as it's called in certain religious circles or squares, as the case may be, that is a comforter. And it is indeed a very comforting experience.
Can I play devil's advocate for a second? Because you speak of it as like, for you, it is a physical place. Is that something that you create out of your mind to make it feel more comforting? Like you said, it's comforting to make it feel more comforting. Or isn't it? You know, I mean, because for me, it isn't a physical place. It's beyond something physical. It's not physical. It's not located in my body at all. So, which one of us is telling the truth, eh?
Well, you know, I think each person has to discover that for themselves, you know, and to go into the silence and see what kind of sounds actually emerge from there, whether or not they're going to be a sense felt, but or it's, well.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone. Neath a halo of a street lamp, I turned my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes were stared by the flash of a neon light, it split the night and touched the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking. People hearing without listening. People writing songs that voices never share. No one did.
I wish we had time to play that whole wonderful song by Simon Garfunkel, but we need to say goodnight now. We've gone within. We hope you've gone with us on this journey within and that you will continue to find. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at through our website at thelaughingheart.org or you can write an email directly to me at estrider@gmail.com. And to remind you, our show, we're so grateful to have a sponsor in Go Raw, Natural Foods, real live food. And we encourage you to go check them out at Costco's and other places like that. Rochelle, any last remarks or things we need to...
Yes, remember, resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
Indeed it is. And next week we're going to be back with a show that is going to be really, really special and dynamic because we're going to feature some new characters on this show that you may not have met before.
And just remember, this show live has all these wonderful pieces of music. If you listen to it on the archives, you may not be able to hear all the music. So we encourage you to listen to this show live every Tuesday night, Pacific Coast time, 7 p.m.
And that's where you'll find us in the naked truth, going within. Or as the song said, you either go within or go without. And I think that's a good thing to ponder as
I'm
we leave
you. I'm going to ponder it.
We're going to leave you now. Thanks so much for being with us. I'm Errol Strider.
And I'm Rochelle Alicia Strider.
And we'll see you or be with you. I don't know if we'll see you, but we'll be with you next week. Good night.